electrical and HVAC.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
Harrison's is the home of Work Western and WOW! For nearly 30 years, our family has been boots on the ground when it comes to work. The key to our success is great partners like Ariat. We have the largest selection of Ariat in the Carolinas. Need comfortable work boots? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Want to show out at the rodeo? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Looking to wow on date night? Yep, Ariat. Work staples, Western favorites, and casual styles to wow any crowd. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or online at harrisonsusa.com.
It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry with 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket. Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King put this.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings!
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds, one. Launches a three. Good if it goes! It does! Chase Hunter, the three! At the buzzer, sends Putz into the locker room. Up 10, 35, 25.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody. It's the Monday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite here on 105.5/97.5 The Roar. It is Monday, December 8th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us right here on The Roar. And hope everybody had a great weekend and hug your local Notre Dame fan because, oh my goodness, was yesterday bonkers with the college football playoff selection. Craziness transpiring with 3-loss Alabama getting in and 2-loss Notre Dame being snubbed. We'll obviously hop into that throughout the course of the program today. I know you guys have thoughts. I know you guys have commentary and more. But if you are living under a rock and did not see the college football playoff selection show yesterday, it was chaos. It was pandemonium. We have two group of fives in the college football playoff after Darian Mensah and Duke win the ACC championship at 8-5. Texas Tech, Blitzkrieg, BYU out of the college football playoff field. Bama got blitzkrieged, but got the Bama bump and still somehow stayed in the 9 seed, the only conference champion loser to not be penalized by the college football playoff committee in the last 3 years and dating back a long time. I've actually got some numbers on that. 87 of the last 89 conference champions in the AP poll or college football playoff poll have been penalized for losing the conference championship game. Bama is one of those two that did not move down. The only other one was TCU after their loss to Kansas State. So we're going to try and unpack all this madness throughout the course of the program today. We're also going to break down a couple of the games. Obviously, Indiana, Ohio State captivated everybody's attention. There were a couple blowouts that didn't necessarily captivate everybody's attention for super late into those games. But we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your analysis and more at 654-ROAR. Also, probably going to have a couple polls that are thrown up throughout the course of the broadcast today because I'm interested to see where everybody's at on this. Based on what I put out on Twitter, I had some people that like really agreed with me, and they were like, hey, I see this exactly the way you see this. And I had a couple people say, what are you thinking? You're alone on this. So I get it. I might be in the minority with what my opinion is, but I think it's a borderline travesty that Notre Dame didn't get in, to be honest with you. And I was really disappointed because I think that was the second or third best team in the country that just got excluded. And I don't really understand, if you want me to be honest with you. I will say this before we throw things to John, catch up on the weekend and dive into this. If Virginia won the ACC championship game, I think we're having a completely different conversation here this morning. And I think they would have chosen Notre Dame over Miami. I don't think they were comfortable just excluding the ACC in totality. So I think Virginia losing almost screwed Notre Dame out of the college football playoff in that way. And I think the conversation and discourse would have been different had the Hoos taken care of business up in Charlotte. So on that note, John, hope you had a good weekend watching the football. Your Steelers got a massive freaking win. So I know you got to be riding high right now as the division favorites. And college football was fun to watch. Good weekend for us.
It was a good weekend. Enjoyed getting to watch the last couple minutes of that because for some reason the local TV provider thought I needed to watch Bucks Saints instead of Steelers Ravens.
Bucks Saints?
Or yeah, we had that one, and then Bengals Bills. That was pretty good. You know, I understand that everybody is upset right now about Notre Dame's lack of inclusion into this field, and I understand the argument. But I've heard it put best that this is the fault of the TV networks. This is the fault of these giant mega conferences. Because if we had, you know, when this 12-team format was created, fun fact, the AD of Notre Dame helped create this format. For everyone who's going to cry, you know, foul for Notre Dame today, they designed this. We set this up in mind with five power conferences. We set this up before we destroyed the Pac-12. And created the Mega Big Ten and the Mega Big 12 and the ridiculous 17-team ACC. So right then and there, Oregon would have gotten in. You wouldn't have had JMU. But we didn't have that because we have these bloated, massive leagues. You're correct that if Virginia would have won that game, Miami probably wouldn't have gotten in.
Yeah.
But head-to-head matters. And we have these giant leagues that have to have it make sense. This is the fault of the TV networks. This is the fault of everybody having these bloated leagues with these ridiculous policies of how to get in. You know what would have really helped? A 12 or 14 team ACC with two divisions, so the best teams actually would have made it out.
I really agree with that. I really agree with that.
This is the fault of the playoff expansion of the TV networks of Fox, of ESPN, of CBS, of NBC. Like, this is everyone's fault. Because we had to, for the sake of money and making as much as we possibly can, completely rework the framework of the sport without putting any parameters in place. Like, this just... I have no issue with Miami's inclusion here. I have no beef with it. I really don't have any issue with Notre Dame's not inclusion. I understand the argument. I've seen you on Twitter say we left the third best team out of the playoff. Well, they had opportunities to beat two teams. They didn't do it. And because we have said we have to have the five highest ranked conference champs in here, because an 8-5 team won the ACC and we can't leave out a power league, we got to do this. Also, we all know that they were not going to leave out Alabama, right? If the rhetoric and framework going into this thing was if you're playing for your conference title, that your seeding can be altered, but we're not going to kick you out of this thing, you referenced the TCU. Well, that was in the four team in the previous era. The whole framework for the last year has been you're going to play in this game to impact your seeding, but it's not going to remove you from the playoff field.
And after all the hullabaloo that was made of Alabama not getting in last year, do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but am I surprised about it? Not one bit. I really have no beef with this field of 12. I'm glad that we got two G5s in here. A 12-1 JMU team deserves to be in the field.
Yeah, that's
just
where...
I have honestly, like, I understand we are going to cry foul for Notre Dame today. And I'm 6'4" roar. I'm very much looking forward to having the conversation. But for me, I don't think this is the committee's fault. I don't think this is if Notre Dame would have won this, if this team would have lost that. I think we created this disaster when we set up the framework for a thing that where we didn't alter it once we changed these leagues.
Texter gets in and says how any smart person like yourself doesn't understand head-to-head results is beyond me. For me, it's not really a Miami thing. It's more of an Alabama thing. Like, I understand if you want the end-all, be-all to be head-to-head. I get that. I understand and can cope with the decision being made to select Miami over Notre Dame. Do I think Miami's resume in totality is better than Notre Dame's? No. Do I think Miami's a better football team than Notre Dame? No. Do I think the context of that game should be taken into account? Yeah. Notre Dame was starting a true freshman quarterback in his first game of college football on the road, and they lost by 3 to a team that is now number 10 and in the college football playoff. They followed that up with a loss to Texas A&M, who went 11-1. They lost by 1 on a 4th-and-goal last-second play that was at the buzzer. So they have 2 losses by a combined 4 points to playoff teams at the buzzer, whereas Miami's 2 losses are to an unranked Louisville squad at home as a double-digit favorite and an unranked SMU squad on the road as an almost double-digit favorite. For me, personally, I think Notre Dame's resume is vastly better than Miami's in totality, but again, this isn't a Miami thing for me. This is an Alabama thing. Alabama does not deserve to be in the college football playoff, and John has validity to his point when he's saying, we all knew they weren't going to drop Bama out, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, I do think this also wraps back to last year as well, where Bama threw such a fit and threw such a tantrum, and everybody was crying SEC, 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 that this impacted the committee and swayed the committee in their decision-making on that front this year. And it's unfortunate because when you look at the reality of the situation, Alabama has a worse loss on their resume than either Miami or Notre Dame to Florida State in week 1. Alabama snuck by the skin of their teeth in more games than Notre Dame or Miami did. And you could say that they played a more difficult schedule, and I think that's a super, super fair point. That's the truth and the reality of the situation. But when I look at Notre Dame, I look at a team that's won 10 straight games, convincingly, essentially in 10 straight games as well. Now, yeah, only 2 of those opponents were ranked, being USC and Pittsburgh, but I think they have the best player in college football on their team in Jeremiah Love that has a very legitimate case to be made for the Heisman Trophy. Leads the country in yards per rush, leads the country in yards per play, leads the country in yards per touch, period. Jeremiah Love is arguably the best player in the country. Their quarterback is infinitely better right now than he was in week 1 of the season where they played Miami down in Hard Rock. He was green. He was a freshman. I mean, he grew throughout the course of that game. So, again, you guys have listened to me for a long time, or if you're a first-time listener, hi, I hate Notre Dame. This is making me sick inside to go to war for Notre Dame here today on the program the way I'm going to go to war for Notre Dame. But from a football evaluation standpoint, I think that this is like the minimum 4th best team in the country that just got excluded. Now, if you want to say, well, they should be in a conference, guess what? I don't disagree with you. And maybe this was an ESPN power play to try and force their hand to join a league so they can get a little bit of a piece of the pie with that TV deal and force Notre Dame out of that contract with NBC. Ultimately, this is about money. And if the College Football Playoff Committee thought that they could profit more by putting Notre Dame in over Alabama or Miami, they would have done it because the bottom line is the dollar sign when it comes to the committee. So clearly there's something going on here behind closed doors that isn't necessarily anti-Notre Dame, but it's pro-Alabama and Miami enough for them to make that decision. And I don't disagree with Miami in over Notre Dame if you want to use the crux of your argument as head-to-head. I like Notre Dame's resume vastly more than Miami's, but ultimately, the two teams did play on the field, and Notre Dame had the opportunity to win the football game, and they lost. That should be valued. But Bama should also be penalized, in my opinion, for looking like crap for the last month and a half and then getting popped in the mouth and blown off the field in Atlanta in the SEC championship game.
But if quality wins is what the committee was trumpeting a year ago. And that's still something, I guess, you know, if you're one to take what they say week to week of any consistency. Alabama, up until what Indiana did Saturday night, Alabama had the best win in the country.
At Georgia?
Yes. Between the hedges. They rattled off a bunch of... the last couple weeks have not been great. But we can't act like they weren't taking down ranked opponent after ranked opponent after ranked opponent in the middle of October.
Yeah, they beat Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, and Tennessee back-to-back. And I think the Georgia and the Vandy wins are ultimately the reason they got into the college football playoff. And I think that's what the committee fell back on, is they were going to give the pass to Bama because one of their losses came in a conference championship game. One of their losses came in. But I will say the only part of the logic I disagree with is it feels like Bama is getting much more of a free pass for losing to Florida State in week one, and people are pulling out the excuses there when it was the exact same thing for Notre Dame's loss to Miami, and Miami was starting a true freshman quarterback. Notre Dame was starting a true freshman quarterback.
I don't really have a problem with the field that was selected. I think some of the justification the committee used was absolute lunacy. I thought that it was very convenient that other week one results mattered more than Alabama's loss to Florida State. Now, that part, I will agree with you on. I thought it was a little ridiculous that they didn't bring that up as much as other week one results.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Texter gets in and says, when metrics and opinions trump head-to-head, I'm out. Bama hasn't played well since October 18th. Yeah. I agree with that on the October 18th front. I mean, Bama has been really, really rough for a month and a half, while Notre Dame has legitimately been shot out of a cannon. Here's Notre Dame's results since the last time Bama played a good game. Ranked win by double digits over USC. 15-point win at BC. 39-point win against Navy. They go to Pitt, who was a ranked team in the ACC favorite at that time, who had a chance to play their way into the ACC championship game and ended up losing to Miami. They beat them by 22. They beat Syracuse by 63. Then they went on the road to Stanford and won by 29. We're talking about an average margin of victory of almost 30 points since Alabama in that same stretch, again, and it's not all just about the last 6 weeks of the season, but Bama skates by the skin of their teeth against South Carolina, wins by 7, they beat LSU with an interim coach and backup QB by 11, they lose at home to Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, they pop them by 56, they go at Auburn and win by 7 late on a fumble, and then lose the SEC championship game by 21. Like, I don't think the world of Oklahoma. I don't think their quarterback or their offense are very good. And Bama may very well go win that game in the college football playoff, and then a bunch of people are going to say, ha-ha, see, we got it right? No. It's not about winning and losing at this point in the college football playoff to say you got it right. It's the same clause that Ole Miss was pulling out back in the day where Ohio State got into the playoff and ran it all the way to the championship. The results on the field don't mean that you got the decision correct based off of objectivity and based off of the resume. I think the committee got it wrong, and where I would push back against John, and again, I'm going to sound elitist when I say this, there should never be two Group of Five teams in the playoff. We're wasting everybody's time by putting James Madison in my opinion. And
then Notre Dame should, and Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby and the former commissioner of the Mountain West should have come up with a different framework of rules.
I don't disagree with that. I think the leadership deserves to be blamed for this, but I would have also put 8-5 Duke in over 12-1 James Madison. 12-1 James Madison's best win on their resume is Old Dominion. Duke has 7 power conference wins. James Madison has 0. Why are we putting a team in that's just going to get blown out? Like, we're just wasting everybody's time. The spread's 23.5 right now on FanDuel. Like, implied probability for James Madison to go to Autzen Stadium and winning Eugene is less than 10%. They're not going to win the game. It's not going to be competitive, and they're going to get blown off the face of the earth. So I'm kind of upset that there's two Group of Five teams in. If that makes me elitist, that makes me elitist. I would have chucked Duke in there because at least they have a power conference roster and an NFL quarterback to go with it. We'll unpack all this throughout the course of the break and throughout the course of the program. Ton of people are getting in. Ton of people are getting in. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. And love that we're having agreement and disagreement here because I think everybody's got their own unique perspective and twist on this. And appreciate y'all checking in. Stick with us.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Be home for the holidays with a brand new home in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson. The Sunrise Community by Empire Homes has move-in ready homes for sale, which means you can be moved in and unpacked before you welcome guests for your year-end celebrations. New reduced prices plus a 2-to-1 buy-down mortgage incentive with a starting rate of 3.99% means big savings for you. The community pool opens in 2026. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to explore these new homes at Sunrise.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
You have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkey-itis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
Roosters wants to help you give the perfect gift this holiday season. Stuff those stockings with gift cards and shave kits and get their gift boxes for under the tree. Get 10% off products from now until the 24th of December. Give your dad or man in your life the gift of feeling good this season at Roosters. Roosters Men's Grooming Center, located on 3935 Pelham Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Call them at 884-8920 for your next appointment.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in blown-in insulation. Blown-in insulation provides great improvements to your home's efficiency and comfort while being a great cost-effective option. We also install solar attic fans for temperature and humidity control, reducing your attic temp from 150 to 110 degrees, protecting your home. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Hurry, call Koala Insulation at 864-867-1779 today.
Discounted Appliance Warehouse in Pickens. It's not just what you buy, it's who you buy it from. Jeff and his team have over 1,200 Google reviews and a 4.9 star rating because they treat you like family. Get honest advice, expert answers, and a stress-free experience. With more than 1,500 appliances in stock, refrigerators, washers, dryers, ovens, and more, the Upstate shops here with confidence. Stop by in Pickens or visit online at dawpickens.com. dawpickens.com.
Looking for expert tree care in the Upstate? Call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner for quality tree work and more. Whether it's tree removal, trimming, stump grinding, or storm damage cleanup, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their certified team is committed to making your yard safe and beautiful. And as a proud, longtime partner of the Roar, you know Franklin Tree Service is a name you can trust in the Upstate. Affordable, reliable, and fully insured. Call Franklin Tree Service today at 864-947-9065.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan, featured products, or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance, and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, HIMS.com/JOY.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
What's that for the touchdown?
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Bax and Childress and John Ike continues here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. A ton of people are getting in on this stuff with the College Football Playoff Committee and everything else. Texter gets in on the app and the website. We're working on that. We've had a bunch of texts about that. Tech people have been notified, and we are working on that. So appreciate you guys hanging in there with us, and we will get you an update on the app and the website back up and running as soon as possible. Texter gets in on, a lot of people are getting in on the group of five stuff. And yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, that is probably my biggest takeaway from this, is that we need an adaptation to the format primarily for that reason, because we're essentially just wasting two spots, is the way that I view it.
Don't worry. Change will come out of this. You know,
it will.
That's one thing I'm coming to realize very quickly about the 12-team format. Once we select the 12, we're going to throw tantrums for 9 months to get a change. So something will change. Remember, we didn't like the seating last year. We changed the seating for this year. Something will get worked. A lot of great texts coming in right now. 654 Roar. I appreciate everybody taking different angles, because that's, I think this is a very nuanced discussion. Right? I think there's a lot of different ways in which you could tackle this. You are not wrong about the G5's chances of winning these games in the playoff. But I like this text here from 5471. It said, "Faxon, to me, the whole argument about Alabama being in over someone like Notre Dame is more about the inclusion of JMU and Tulane. To me, a guaranteed spot for a group of five team is more faulty of a rule that they have instituted upon themselves. Those two teams lock two spots that objectively could have been given to better teams, whether that be Notre Dame or Vanderbilt or whoever." I think that was a great way to encapsulate a lot of the point I was trying to make in the previous segment as well. Like, yes, there are better teams in the field than Tulane and JMU. There are better teams that could have been included. But this was the rule that you implemented when we had five power conferences. Like, it made it such a cleaner thing. And then when we reworked all the leagues, the ACC had to scramble, come up with a nonsense framework for its inclusion for its title game. That's how you get a 7-5 Duke getting in there, and in true ACC fashion, winning the whole thing. Like, I don't think any of the points that you have made are incorrect. I don't think any of the points you're going to make are going to be incorrect. I just think maybe we're arguing about maybe different things here.
This is a fault in leadership, and this is a format problem at the end of the day. Regardless of the decisions that they made, like, I don't have to sit here and agree with the decisions that they made, but this all ultimately wraps back to having weak leadership from the ACC's standpoint, with the lack of inclusion of Notre Dame, to Notre Dame not including in the conference, to the rules being adapted, and we're still including the language with the top five conference champions. Like, there are so many people to blame here, it's hard to boil it down to one thing.
Absolutely.
This isn't one thing or one person blame.
And it's tough to hear Pete Bavakwa come out here and cry foul. And listen, I think you lost a lot of sympathy vote by completely bowing out of the postseason entirely. But when your predecessor's the one that created the framework for you in this spot, you want all the things that you enjoy about your independence? Well, there's going to be things that are going to come back and hurt you because you're independent, because there's not a conference of teams and people arguing on your behalf. It's just Pete Bavakwa. He's not answering to 16 and 17 other league presidents and athletic directors. Like, there's pros and cons to being independent. And I think for the first time, Notre Dame is seeing a con of being an independent.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I think we all just kind of worked under the assumption all year that Notre Dame was going to get the benefit of the doubt, myself included.
Oh, same here. I did as well.
And they didn't. Like, that's the most shocking part of me is, like, that's one of the biggest helmet brands, if not the biggest helmet brand in college football. And, again, this is the ESPN show at the end of the day, and Bama kind of put him in place as little bro. It's like, okay, you think you run things as the premier brand in college football? We got some news for you. We're Alabama. And, ultimately, that is going to dictate, you know, a lot of what this selection looks like. Texter gets in and says, the issue isn't the inclusion of a group of five school. The issue is the inclusion of two due to the bozo ACC. I'm sure the rules will be changed so that if this happens again, the fifth conference champion spot will go to an at-large team unless it is ranked in the top 15 maybe or so. Agree. I think there's going to be some language that's adapted. And also, if we want to play blame game, the stupid tiebreaker for the ACC to get Duke into this spot in the conference championship game also deserves to be blamed. Because if this was like 9-3 Georgia Tech, I bet they'd be in. I bet they'd be in. And even you can go down the line, like, why was Miami not playing in this game? Maybe even SMU, a team like that, gets into the college football playoffs. So, again, there are a lot of people to blame here. And I'm not taking the stance that this is a, like, one person, the committee just botched it. No, the committee was kind of forced into a corner by their own stupid rules and subset of rules. And now we have two group of fives in and no Notre Dame and Vanderbilt, who I genuinely believe are both top 10 teams in the country that are being excluded. And everybody's going to cry in the offseason, and I get it. But again, this all wraps back to, if I had to put one generalization on it, from the top of the food chain down to the conferences, weak leadership and lack of leadership. That is the problem here.
That's the encapsulation of our sport right now, is weak leadership and no leadership at all. And I think this is just a great shining light on the lack of leadership we have in this sport. Absolutely. Do you think that yesterday and the conversations that will come out of it, after the distrust that people had in the committee from last year, I mean, we remember the SEC spring meetings when it was all about how we don't trust the committee. Do you think that there is now, for those of us who, kind of like me, who would like to see the BCS scheduling this thing, ranking this thing, like, let's remove some of the human element and go to computers, do you think this gave these people a leg to stand on in their arguments?
I think it gave them a massive leg to stand on, but I also, like, I am always going to be pro-objectivity over subjectivity. Here is the issue I have. They're showing it on Get Up on ESPN right now. Notre Dame was ahead of Miami in the college football playoff rankings for legitimately the entirety of the process. And then they were dropped one spot for the final, you know, week of the college football playoff. And it's not like Miami went out and won the conference championship game. There were no games that were played. And it wasn't just like they were one spot or marginally ahead of Miami. They were multiple spots ahead of Miami, rather, in every rendition of the college football playoff rankings up until the final one. So, like, that is where my human element issue comes in. Because what is your process? What you did yesterday is essentially admit, none of this matters until the final one, and we can do whatever we want. And that is where I have a problem with it, and I would prefer a computer. Because at least with the computer, I know I'm getting some baseline level of objectivity. Now, I'm not saying that the computer doesn't have a bias. Maybe there's a bias towards the SEC or a bias towards the Big Ten. That's cool. But what happened yesterday is not acceptable, because you essentially admitted that your process is a failure. And that is the biggest issue that I have of all of it. If you want to put Bama in over Notre Dame, I like Notre Dame, the football team. I promise I don't like Notre Dame, the program. I'm not that bent out of shape about Notre Dame not being in from a bird's eye view perspective. What I do have an issue with is, imagine if this were Clemson. That's what I would be, you know, saying to the audience, is imagine if this were Clemson that got screwed the way that Notre Dame got screwed yesterday. And imagine if your team is stacked above another team for five consecutive weeks on end in a ranking. And then, with no other sort of logic other than, well, our ultimate decider was head-to-head by the committee of the college football playoff, you inexplicably get dropped 6 weeks after the fact. This is 4 months after the game was played. So if head-to-head mattered so much, why was Notre Dame two spots ahead of Miami last week? Like, it's a process issue for me, John. That's where I have an issue.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that one of the best things about yesterday is putting the spotlight on how much of a sham the entire process is.
It's ridiculous.
That's why I am pro-computer here, because we don't do this nonsense. Because I'm not going to be one to put my arm around a Notre Dame fan and tell them it's all going to be okay. But you believe that there's some credibility to this committee, that the, what they're trotting out every week. It's going to show that they're not. Because Hunter Yurchek's up here, or Matt Groats, prior to him, is sitting here telling you that Notre Dame is above, in our eyes, as the committee who is going to schedule this thing, we view Notre Dame greater than Miami until, with nothing changing in the data, then you flip it. Head-to-head should have mattered the entire time.
It should have.
It should have mattered the entire time. I think the committee has a lot of egg on their face, and deservedly so. I think the committee, I think you are spot on, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't really care about the 12 that we have here. At the end of the day, the 12 or the 12, especially when I don't have a dog in the fight. But I have a problem when you are getting paid all this money and you get to come out here every week and you lay out your findings to where no changing of the data and then you just up and do everything. Texter just pointed it out in the words of Dabo.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
That's bullcrap. That's bullcrap. If head-to-head mattered so, and again, like a couple people
As it should.
Like a lot of people are getting
insane. We watched the game. We saw that Miami was better than Notre Dame that night. Even though Mario Cristobal tried his hardest to give that game away to Notre Dame.
He did.
We have three quarters of absolute whooping Notre Dame's tail.
And if you didn't see it, the ACC Network showed it legitimately on repeat for the last, week and a half on their network. So you had every opportunity to go catch it. And I'm still, they're still showing it and showing replays of it. But in all seriousness, I'm never going to be the guy that bangs the drum for Notre Dame because, again, they have the sweetest deal in college football, and I think everybody was operating under the assumption that they indeed were going to get in. I have an issue with the process and the flaws within the process, and I have an issue with inexplicably dropping a team three spots, because that's what this was. They went from 10 to 13, and part of that is JMU getting the bump as the conference championship, which I acknowledge, but how are you going to say that there is a two-plus spot gap between Miami and Notre Dame for five consecutive weeks of your selection process and then say, actually, no, they did beat them 4 months ago, so we're going to vault them up ahead in the standings by one spot? And a couple texters are getting in by saying, there were some logical inconsistencies by BYU was in the middle of them, and they tried to defend that. Yeah, hit the bullcrap button again, because that's all that is.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
Absolute bullcrap is all that is. They know that they were in a pickle. And the committee ultimately had to leave a Power Four league out, which is going to create a hissy fit from a lot of people on the ACC side, right? Or they had to leave Notre Dame out or leave Alabama out. And they ultimately chose Notre Dame, which is conveniently the one that they don't have a TV deal with, the odd man out of the picture.
And it's like I said earlier, you're having a one-on-one fight, not a 1 versus 17 or a 1 versus 16 or a 1 versus 18, depending on the conference.
Yes. You can, again,
it's a lot easier to deal with Pete Bavacqua and the Notre Dame brass than the Clemson AD, the Florida State AD, the North Carolina AD, the NC State AD, you know what I mean? Or the Greg Sankey and the torch-carrying mob out of Birmingham.
Yeah. And again, ultimately, I do believe, whether this is right or wrong, this is at least my opinion, and you guys can agree or disagree before we take a quick break. I do believe Alabama's exclusion last year played some baseline level of impact in their inclusion this year. I think if Bama got in last year, we're having a different conversation this morning about what the field looks like.
Well, I actually, and we'll go to break on this, that's the one thing I actually applaud the committee on, their consistency of that the conference championship games are about seeding implications and not about can you make it or will you be removed from playing a game, because I think there would be a large outcry yesterday and today if Bama would have been removed for their 13th game performance. Meanwhile, Miami and Notre Dame did not have a 13th game.
And that's where it also works against Notre Dame, because they don't even give themselves to play a chance into the 13th game, which is why I don't feel overly bad. Again, when I am banging the drum for Notre Dame, it's because I believe in that product on the field and I believe in that team. I'm not defending the system. I'm not defending the product, because the system is completely crooked, as showcased yesterday.
Vegas would have Notre Dame as a neutral site. They would be a favorite against 9 of the 12 teams in the field.
Exactly. So Vegas thinks this is the third or fourth best team in the country. I tend to agree. And ultimately, if you played in a conference, this would have worked itself out, because you would have had a 13th game to go out there on the field. You would have had a conference championship to boast. And then guess what? You could have been a power conference champion, and JMU would be sitting their butt at home. So This is a mass issue for a lot of people. Before we take a quick break, let me tell you about Morgan Coleman. I'm sure she's got opinions on this. She loves to talk football, and she's also can help you out in this winter market with the real estate market. Cheering on the Tigers, celebrating big real estate wins. It makes for an exciting time in the upstate. You want to go local. You want to go with somebody that's a native of the area that has an intricate understanding of all the things you need in the upstate. Go with Morgan Coleman Real Estate. Four words, Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. Homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase. Clemson women's soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist your buying or selling needs and, of course, talk some ball with you as well. Get in contact with her again by four words, searching Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. We'll talk more playoff, and we also got to talk about these games, John, because we had some great ones this past weekend. 654 Roar if you guys want to check in.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers and Haywood Mall? Let's start with a state-of-the-art 21st century showroom. Add to that an elegant selection of Swiss watches for him and an exquisite portfolio of diamonds for her. Need more? Award-winning sales professionals providing world-class customer service. All backed by a family-owned company in business for nearly 80 years. Just a few great reasons to shop Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Hello, Medicare recipients and ROAR listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low-income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and/or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit longviewcarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. Texter 383 gets in with a couple things. Facts, and I need 10 points from Dallas Goedert tonight to make the fantasy football playoffs. I'm not making it, am I? Well, if I was already having a bad morning because of the committee, I forgot the Eagles play tonight, so thank you for reminding me. Second of all, Dallas Goedert's really good. Sadly, his quarterback is Jalen Hurts, so I'll send a prayer up. I hope you get it. I'll be rooting for my birds. But Goddard was like wide open, uncovered for two touchdowns last week, as I'm sure you saw if you were watching the game, Texter. And Jalen just smoked it. So I'm hoping Jalen plays well tonight. I usually plays well in the state of California for whatever reason. So let's hope that you make the fantasy football playoffs, brother. I'll keep you in mind during the game 3-8-3. I'll be rooting for Dallas. That's probably my favorite player on the Eagles, outside of Tanner McKee, of course. And then another Texter gets in and says, what's BS about the ACC tiebreaker? So this is just kind of the rundown on how Duke created this situation. And again, this is why I'm not overly mad at the committee, because they were a victim to a certain degree of their own language and their own structure, and it also trickles down to partial fault to the ACC, in my opinion, because Duke was in a five-way tiebreaker with teams at 6-2 within league play. There was no head-to-head resolution. They had to go down to like the fifth line on the tiebreaker, which was combined opponent win percentage, and that's eventually what had Duke win out over everybody else. And essentially, like, again, some in a backwards way, Wake Forest going 8-4 got Duke into this game, because there were a couple other teams that like didn't play a couple of those teams that were a little bit higher on the totem pole and played teams that were on the lower on the totem pole, like Miami, whose ACC conference was conference slate was a joke and terrible, which is why they didn't get in. But yeah, I love Darian Mensah more than anybody on planet Earth that doesn't have the last name Mensah. They should have never been in that game. They should have never been in that game. That defense reeks. And there's just so much blame to go around here, and there's a lot of frustration on my end, in all honesty. There's frustration because I feel bad for Notre Dame to a certain extent. I also wish that the league was being represented in a better way. I think it's a really bad look for the ACC, John, to have an 8-5 conference champion that won the league via a tiebreaker at 6-2 that does not have inclusion in the college football playoffs with a L to UConn and more on their resume. Like, this has just been a disastrous year for the ACC, if we're being honest.
Yes, absolutely. You had teams that were projected to do very well that did not do very well. You have your big brands completely falling apart. You had so much invested in the Bill Belichick experience. Well, that failed miserably. Yeah, it was the perfect cherry on top for from a perception standpoint, a horrible year for the ACC.
Yeah.
No other way to put it is a bad year for the league.
Just awful. Just freaking awful. Texter says, can we talk about how soft it is, though, that Notre Dame is taking their ball and going home and not playing a bowl game? We will get into this. We're also going to talk about all the games that transpired, give our breakdowns there. This is what I'll say on the Notre Dame thing. I'm not as upset at Notre Dame as many, because do we expect anything else from the most entitled brand in college football? Like, seriously, they look down on everyone. Their fans look down on everyone. Their brand looks down on everyone. did you really expect them to take this well and go play in the bowl game would be my question to the audience. Because the immediate first thing that popped into my mind, Coach Poppy, Kwok, and I are all huddled around the phone before his pregame interview, watching the selection process before Kwok starts recording and we do it with women's basketball. So we're all huddled around the phone. And the first thing that popped into my mind when Notre Dame got excluded is, oh, they're going to throw a fit and not play in the bowl game. That was literally the first thing that popped into my mind. So I guess I'm just not like super upset at Notre Dame about it, because that is the expectation that I had with literally everything we know about Notre Dame, the brand and the program, John. Like that's just like correctly on brand for what Notre Dame is.
I just, this statement just reeks of arrogance.
Yep.
As a team, we've decided to withdraw our name from consideration for a bowl game following the 25 season. We appreciate all the support from our families and fans, and we're hoping to bring the 12th national title to South Bend in 26. Get over yourselves.
Yeah.
That was just... I understand that they're frustrated. I understand that their feelings are hurt. But come on, man. This is supposed to be about competition.
It is.
Go out there and compete. You didn't like it? Well, go out there and do something about it. As much as I like to make fun of Mike Norvell in Florida State, at least he took the equipment staff with him to go play Georgia in the Orange Bowl that year.
I was
like, at least they showed up and took their 60-point drubbing. Now, granted, it's completely set the program apart and they're still reeling from it. But, hey, like, credit on you for showing up and playing the game.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of respect for Marcus Freeman, and when we talk about how no one's going to outwork us, outcompete us, blah, 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 well, clearly a lot of people are going to outcompete you because they're showing up to go compete.
Yeah, Texter 094 kind of gets in with my vision, or I guess what my takeaway is from the Notre Dame thing is, can't be mad at a rattlesnake for biting, can't be mad at Notre Dame for being Notre Dame. That's why, like, I read the statement, I was like, yeah, you know what, that's about right. Like, that was my full reaction with it, was like, yeah, that's Notre Dame for you. Like, it is what it is. That's about the exact way that I would have anticipated they reacted to this situation. So that's why I wasn't like overly like, oh my gosh, Notre Dame. No, like, this is who they are. Like, this is what the program is about.
I also think you talked about it in the first segment, how good of a player Jeremiah Love is and all that. I also think they know that they would be going into a bowl game with a much lesser than roster.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they wanted to go show up against somebody who would be very fired up to go play them, like a Vanderbilt or somebody like that, and have Diego Pavia just run through their teeth.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think it would have been either Vandy or BYU, I think, and like BYU would have taken that very seriously, whereas I think Notre Dame's mentality headed into the game would have just been like, so disappointed at their lack of inclusion.
Why are we
people
even
are opting
here?
Out. Why are we even here? It would have been that type of vibe. So I think if they pulled the plug, no one wanted to play in the game. I'll just tell you that right now. Like, if the way that they framed the language with the team came to the decision, that tells me that the players did not want to play in the game.
Oh, no, they definitely didn't. And you know what? They didn't want to do it at Kansas State or Iowa State. But those two programs are being fined $500,000 apiece for opting out of a bowl game. Meanwhile, how much is Notre Dame being fined? Nothing. Because this is one of the benefits, again, that you have of not being in a conference.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says, so stupid. Once the overall record is better, that should be the tiebreaker. It should have been Miami in the title because overall was better. I don't disagree with you, and I promise you will not find me defending ACC leadership or their rules or infrastructure around the title game. The fact that 7-5 Duke, again, I love Manny Diaz. I talked about this Duke team in the preseason. Talked about Mensa in the preseason. I'm not victory lapping here because they should not have been in the game. They should not have been in the game. They did not deserve to be in the game. They didn't deserve to be in the game. Let's get Gervonta in here, 654 Roar. Gervonta, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning. I hope you all had a great weekend. How y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Honestly, like, I don't agree with a lot of these decisions, but the fact that we have college football playoff games coming up is very exciting. Clemson plays in freaking Madison Square Garden tomorrow. I'm so excited about that. A lot of great things going on in the world of sports, Gervonta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great time to be a Clemson Tiger. Just want to make a comment on that Notre Dame. I do understand y'all point. Y'all have some valid good points. I always do. But I can see Notre Dame position with this because I believe you're going to have some players there jumping the portal. I believe it's a disaster down there with the hurt that happened from yesterday. Now, I don't think they deserve to be in. But I think, you know, the program took a direction of what's going to come in the next coming weeks. People upset and different things like that. Who would they have to play? App State?
They would have played BYU in the Pop-Tart Bowl, is my understanding.
BYU. So that's what I'm saying. I believe, you know, that was a decision, I think, for the program. Now, I do agree with y'all saying they're not getting fined. And I do agree with y'all when y'all saying, you know, many people, they think they're better. But I think that's an in-house issue because, man, that's some really hurt down there yesterday. And I'll take your comments off the air. Go Tigers.
Appreciate you, Gervonta. Great call as always. And, yeah, like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like this doesn't suck for Notre Dame. Again, if this were Clemson, I would be legitimately irate if my team was on a 10-game winning streak with an average margin of victory over 20 in that 10-game winning streak, two ranked wins in that process, including a recent one, and then my team was in the rankings above the team that made it above me for six consecutive weeks, I'm sure I'd be throwing a temper tantrum here this morning. Truly, I would. But my team also plays in a league, which is why I'm throwing a little bit of that empathy out the window, because this could have been avoided. You had a chance to play your way into the college football playoff each and every year if you just joined the league and swallowed your pride. Because guess what? Every team that plays in a power conference, and heck, this even extends to the group of five now for the upper echelon ones, you control your own destiny. If you go out on the field and you win the games, it is in the language that you have a chance to punch your ticket. And all you have to do is win enough games to get in. And did Notre Dame win enough games to get in this year? Yes, they probably did. But ultimately, they made the decision from an institutional standpoint to take that automatic ticket punch away because they thought they would get the benefit of the doubt, and they didn't. And that's where I'm at on this situation. I think they're the third best team in the country. I was going to pick Notre Dame to win the national championship. I'm being dead serious. Put that out on Twitter the night before the playoff. I was going to pick them to win the national championship. I thought they had it all laid out for them. An extra week of rest. They didn't have to burn any elite game plans down the stretch. They coasted into the playoff. They're healthier than they've been all year. I think this was the third best team in the country that got excluded. But I also understand it. And some of my empathy goes away because, again, you had every chance to join a league, John, and you elected as an institution to not join that league.
Not join the league, but also be able to sit in with the playoff, with the committee that helped create the 12-team college football playoff. You got your red carpet path to it, and you didn't handle business. This is the first time that it has gone against you, and I'm not going to sit here and throw a pity party for you.
Yeah, so it just kind of is what it is. The reason I'm pissed, I wanted to watch Jeremiah Love play one more time. That dude's the man.
No, that's a reason to be upset.
That's the primary reason I'm upset about Notre Dame. I just wanted to watch Jeremiah Love. That dude's awesome. All right, quick break here on the program. We're going to get into the game breakdowns on the other side because we had some great ones. 654-ROAR is the number to get in with Faxon and John.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97. 97-